Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Connecting Faith. You can hear the show live each weekday at noon on Faith Radio. And there are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting faith with life.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Connecting Faith. I'm Joe Rathmanner, sitting in for Neil Stavem this week while Neil is out helping another station, another great Christian radio station. And where is he, Ted?
He is in the great state of Montana.
He's in the great state of Montana, and he will be absent all week, but you'll hear his voice on a couple of recorded shows. Otherwise, I'm very grateful to be able to fill in for him this week. Especially grateful that we get to talk to a wonderful author today, and we're going to be talking about spiritual renewal. So do you ever feel like you're kind of in a period where you're in spiritual slumber, maybe that you said yes to Christ, you maybe go to church, you attend a small group, maybe a weekly Bible study, but that you're just kind of cruising along uneventfully, picking nuggets up here and there from God's Word, but really not feeling inspired to act on any of those things? Well, my guest for today believes that many believers go through this period or periods where we might feel a little bit stagnant, and that it's time for spiritual renewal, not only in individual lives, but also in our churches and in our world. Wouldn't that be amazing? Well, what does that look like, and how can we awaken our souls? Let me introduce you to my guest for today, and we will get started talking about that right away. Gerard Long is a minister, evangelist, author, motivational speaker, and a former banking executive who is head over heels in love with Jesus Christ. In 2006, Gerard retired from a highly paid banking career and joined Alpha USA, which is full-time, in order to help people explore the meaning of life. As executive director, he now leads Alpha, whose mission is to serve local churches in presenting the gospel to their communities through a course. A widely used introduction to Christianity, Alpha is supported by multi-denominational churches and now operates in more than 169 countries. More than 3 million people have taken this Alpha course in the USA and over 24 million worldwide. Though Gerard has experienced a wonderful joy of knowing and serving the Lord, he's also known the very deepest of grief and suffering, has an amazing story, has had experienced the death of two of three of his children, Alex in 2005 and Rebecca in 2014. These losses have served to heighten his desire to complete the work that God has for him, and in particular, to see as many people as possible come to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Welcome to the show, Gerard.
Joe, hi. It's great to be with you. Thank you.
Well, it's wonderful to have you, and your book is called Awakening to God. What is it that inspired you to say everyone needs to have an awakening to God?
Well, really, it was my own story. I'd come to Christ when I was a young boy, had wonderful Christian parents, and received Jesus as my Savior, and went to church, went to youth groups, and learned Scripture and all those good things, but never really came to understand the intimacy that God wants us to have through the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. I didn't really understand that. And I was very timid and embarrassed, to be honest, about my faith. And then in the latter years of my teens, I went away from God and went headlong into the world. And then God, in his mercy, when I was 22 years old, I had a powerful encounter with God in 1980. And I now realize it was the Holy Spirit who was pouring God's love into my heart and fell head over heels in love with Jesus Christ. And I guess it was like the first Christians at Pentecost, from being timid and frightened in the upper room, the Holy Spirit gave me this love for Jesus Christ and this power I've described to be his witness. I wanted desperately to be able to share about Jesus to anyone I could. And so it was out of that experience, and that was ever since then I've had this desperation to know the Lord more. I love Scripture, but also to share with other people about this great news that we have in Jesus Christ. And so the difference between those first 17 years and the last sort of 30, 35 or so years is between like night and day. And so what I wanted to pass on was some of the experiences of that transformation in this book, first starting with the heart, because I've got a great belief that unless it's really in our hearts, and that can only come by the Holy Spirit, I believe, and then moving to the head. How do you do this? What was Jesus's approach? How did he teach his disciples to be fishers of men? And so using his teaching and using what I've seen over the last 34, 35 years, many, many stories, anecdotes, I pass on in this book so that I believe it. This is what brings us alive in our Christian walk, this purpose that God's got for us.
So I noticed that you write a lot to the person who maybe has not even heard the good news of Jesus Christ, but also to that person who's just kind of in this stagnant pattern. What does it take to get that person to understand their purpose, their calling, and be able to act on it?
Well, I think that's where the awakening comes in. And I think that so often we try and launch out on our own and our own strength. And I think Jesus made it very clear to his disciples, look, I've given you all these instructions. I've told you what I want you to do, but there's a piece missing. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit, who he said, wait in Jerusalem until he, the Holy Spirit, comes. He will give you the power. He will give you the direction, and he will guide you on how to do the things I've asked you to do. So I think it starts, that first awakening is really an awakening to say, okay, God, you're not only my Savior, and this is where I was when I was a young boy, but also I want you to be my Lord. I want you to have really first place in every area of my life. And I use the analogy of the house. Those first 17 years, I invited Jesus in, as it were, and he was in the hallway of my home. But, you know, the important things of my life, relationships, making money, my career, pleasure, all of those things, I really wanted to control. I hadn't really grasped that God's plan for my life and for all of our lives is really the best plan. You can't beat God's plan. Mm-hmm. He created the universe, and he had a tailor-made plan for each of our lives. And so in that surrender, it was as though I was opening every door of my life, as it were, and saying, okay, I've tried. It doesn't really work. I want you now to be Lord in every area of my life. And that, of course, allows the Holy Spirit, who comes in. When we first come to know Christ, we have the Holy Spirit. But reality is that we're not, as D.R. Moody said, I need to keep on being filled because I leak. We often either have never made Jesus Lord of every area of my lives, or we take back. We don't trust him fully in relationships, or we don't trust him for our finances or other areas. We want to take it back. And so continually say, no, I want you to be Lord. And, of course, then the Holy Spirit comes in, and he gives us then the love, because this is all about love, isn't it? We love God, and we love God so much that we want to lay our lives down and do whatever he wants us to do to tell other people about Jesus Christ. So I think that's the first and most important step, Lordship of Jesus, and then just allowing God's love to fill our lives.
Well, if you think about it, it's kind of silly that we would even think that we can keep something from him. You know, I remember having people over to my house, and I cleaned my whole main level of my house, and I didn't think anyone would go upstairs. And sure enough, halfway through this event, I look upstairs and my husband's taking some people around. And I thought, oh my goodness. And I asked him about it later, and he said, well, it was really funny because when I opened the door to the guest room, which has about 50,000 boxes in it, they said to him, oh, thank goodness, you're normal.
Yes.
And I just think it's funny that we think that we can keep this area of our lives from from Christ when it's nearly impossible. And really, that's the area that we want him to touch the most, is that part that we try to keep so much to ourselves.
Yes. And really, it comes down, I mean, a key part of love, isn't it, is trust. You're going to trust that person. You're going to trust God to say, do you know what? I might have some ideas on what's best for me, but I know that you've got the best in mind for me. I know that you love me, and I'm going to trust you in this area. And I'm going to surrender to you in this area. And of course, God is ever so gentle, and he's looking, he's waiting for us to really surrender everything. And of course, then when we do that, we realize that his way is so much better. One of the things that was so key for me, I realized in that point of surrender on Valentine's Day 1980 was that God is able to give us fullness of life inside. That's not dependent on anything that we've got on the outside. The world system teaches, no, you've got to get all these things on the outside, lots of money, control, power, big house, car, whatever it might be, and that will give you fulfillment on the inside. Well, of course, we know it doesn't, but God, he said, no, if you put me first, I will give you contentment on the inside. Doesn't matter what's happening on the outside, because I'm inside you. You can have peace and joy and love, contentment, all the things that the world is after. And I think that's a big point to that. When I got that, I saw that. I that was the point of surrender. I said, of course, yeah. You can get everything on the outside, but you're miserable inside. You've got nothing. But with God, you can have nothing on the outside, but you can have him in the inside. You've got everything. And that was the tipping point for me when I said, okay, all right, I surrender. I give everything over to you. And that, of course, makes way for him to come and really fill us and guide us and direct us and give us the motivation to lay our lives down for him.
Talking today to Gerard Long, he has written a book called Awakening to God, Discovering His Power and Your Purpose. We're going to chat more about discovering purpose. How does that work? Why do we have that question? And hopefully he'll be able to give us some of the answers for that as well. If you'd like to have a copy of this book, we do have a few. Give us a call at 1-877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484. Or maybe you'd like to join in on the conversation. If so, we'd love to hear from you as well. Maybe you've experienced your own kind of awakening, and we'd love to hear that story. Or if you have a question for Gerard, I'm sure we could get that on the air as well. You're listening to Connecting Faith. To Connecting Faith. Thanks so much for joining us today. I'm Joe Rathmanner, and privileged today to be talking to author Gerard Long. He's also the executive director of Alpha USA and has written a brilliant little book called Awakening to God, Discovering His Power and Your Purpose. Gerard, I've noticed that, at least in my own life and listening to other people, that they usually ask that question, there's got to be more to this life. How do I find more to this life? Either when they're at the top, meaning they have everything that the world would say that they should have to be happy, and yet they're not, or when they're at the bottom in grasping for there must be more to this life. Have you found that to be the case?
Yes, I have, absolutely. And I think it's because we were created for relationship with God. There's a God vacuum inside of us, so to speak, that only he can fill, and that's how he's designed it. He's designed it for relationship with him. And unfortunately, we try and fill that gap with all sorts of different things in the world. Essentially, it's the difference is whether God's first or I'm first. And when I'm first, I try and fill it with all sorts of other things. When God's first, then the question is, okay, what is it you want me to do to serve you and to glorify you? And that's the start of the right path, I believe, to come to that place of contentment. Godliness with contentment, of course, is great gain. And so it's not about me now. It's all about him and what he wants me to do. And you don't go very far then into understanding Scripture to realize that God loves each one of us desperately. He loves the world. That's why Jesus came. And you start to realize that when Jesus came, he said, I've come to seek out and save that which is lost. The great message of the shepherds to the shepherds from the angels was the good news of great joy. Today a Savior has been born for you. Jesus came as the Savior of the world. He came to rescue, if you like. It was a great rescue mission. And that's, of course, what Christ followers essentially is, to know God, to love him, to love other people. And then the great commission is to go out then and make disciples, tell other people about this great news of Jesus Christ. And when you boil it all down, that's what it comes down to know God and to make him known while we're here. And so our life should be, I believe, around that, and that's where we start to find fulfillment in that order of things that God has established. So I think that we've got these different worldviews. One worldview is live for yourself. The biblical worldview is, no, you live for God. And where we go somewhere between the two of those, we get ensnared by the things of the world so easily. And then we're finding that we're chasing after the wrong things.
So in this process, why is surrender such a key first step to being able to find our purpose?
Well, because I think that the God is God, and he has to be in his rightful place. And that, of course, is logical. It makes sense, doesn't it? If he's God, he has to be in his rightful place. And how he's created the universe is for him to be at the center. Now, we have disorder in the universe because he's not in the center. Man has said, no, I want to be first, which is illogical when you boil it all down. And so that total surrender is putting God, putting Jesus in his rightful place in our lives. And we recognize then that I, as the Apostle Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. And now you're starting to put the right order and priorities into your life so that God can bless us. When we got the steering wheel, using another analogy of the car, we got the steering, that's how I was for the first 17 years. I knew Jesus was real. I never had a problem believing in God. And I think most people actually are like that. They look at creation. They look at the universe. This isn't an accident. No, God is real. The issue for most people is whether I'm going to make him Lord of my life or not. That's where I was at. I knew he was real, but actually I wanted to be in control of things. I had the steering wheel of my life. And it only came to that point where I saw logically that it makes no sense to think that I can do better than God and I know better than God. It makes no sense at all when you think about it. And when I got that, then I surrendered, and that was the turning point. Then this liquid love was poured into my heart by the Holy Spirit, and I was transformed. I was just transformed in that moment, and it's been ongoing. Recognizing that as I keep surrendering over, because we do tend to take the steering wheel back. You know, there's areas where, I'm not really liking what's going on. I want to try and change things, and we want to be in control again. And if we're in control, then we're stopping God being in control. We're getting in the way. And so there's this constant surrender. Jesus said, take up your cross daily. We have to continually be saying, Lord, no, I want you to be number one. My heart tends to be wayward. I tend to go and want to control things, but that makes no sense. Please, would you take first place? And Holy Spirit, would you come and give me the strength to do that? One of the prayers I put in the book is a simple prayer of that surrender, regular surrender. Lord, I want to love you more, know you more. I want you to have first place in my life, and I want you to be leading and guiding me. Give me a heart to do that. And we can ask that. Give me a heart to do that and the strength to do that.
So a lot of people will feel like they may have surrendered, but then when they get to that point where they feel like they're afflicted or that they're suffering, they may not want to take back the wheel, but get out of the car.
Yeah.
What is it about affliction that causes us to so want to run?
Well, because it hurts, isn't it? So suffering hurts. I don't know if we ever get to talk to my own story shortly, but I'm going through a lot of pain at the moment with Rebecca, our eldest daughter, precious, precious girl, who passed away just 4 months ago. And it was a tragic drowning in Lake Michigan. We're still grieving the loss of our youngest son, Alex, in 2005. And now our second child, she was ministering with me in Alpha. She was the national director of Alpha for Youth. Very painful. And it's really, really hard. And there's times where I think, is there another way? You know, how can I get away from this pain? And not that I've been suicidal, although those thoughts do come at me at times. It hurts. But then when you come back to Scripture, and when you come back, for me, the thing that really helped me so much is eternity. After Alex passed in 2005, my sister passed 2 months after that, and she'd had cancer. I had a call from my brother in the UK, so you better get over here. She's about to pass. I raced after breaking down, weeping on my kitchen floor with Jeannie, my wife. I raced over to the UK, went down to where she was in the hospice. She was just alive. By God's grace and our love, we were very close. Her eyes were just the whites of her eyes, last breaths. on the table. Just before she went, she's suddenly peering out. She's seen something. My mum is a very godly woman. She said she's seen Jesus, and then she was gone. In Ecclesiastes 3:11, it says eternity is tied up in the heart of a man, and I believe brokenness that I was going through then released a very, very, very clear vision and understanding of eternity, which, of course, Scripture talks about, but we're so comfortable here on earth, and we don't often talk about heaven, but Jesus spoke so much about it. Build up for yourselves treasure in heaven. Apostle Paul said, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. What is seen is temporary, what is unseen is eternal. Again and again, Scripture points us to having this backdrop, this context of eternity. And I saw that with Alex, and so that's what really helps me in my pain now, is to say, this life, it's only a vapor. It's only a short time. Jesus said, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. And it helps me to endure what I'm going through now, and also to experience something of God's great hope and great joy in it. So I think that, yeah, look, pain is pain. You can't get away. You're a human. We can't get away from that. And I think the Scripture helps us to get it in context, to see it for what it is, and also to be able to trust that Scripture speaks a lot about God using suffering and pain for his eternal purpose. And so that when you can have some purpose in your pain, you can see that God he hasn't lost control. He didn't lose control when Rebecca drowned in the lake, or when my youngest son took his life after taking a drug and getting confused. God never lost control. So he permitted it. He never causes it, but he permitted it for an eternal reason. We see that with Job, or we see that with Peter. He permits these things, and out of it, he wants us to be able to receive his grace. And it's only his grace at the end of the day. He helps us to get through. See his grace to then go and help other people, and to be able to use what God builds into our lives as part of his eternal purpose.
I love what you wrote about God using significant amounts of pain to change our viewpoints about him and about this world. Yes. Do you feel like that's an ongoing process for you, having to go through these tragedies all, it seems, right after one another?
Well, I hope we don't go through any more tragedies we've been through now. But at the end of the day, Joe, you know, when I surrendered to Christ in 1980, it was surrender. Mm. It was saying, Jesus, it's about you now, your glory, and I surrender my life to you. And by God's grace, enabled me to drink the cup, whatever cup that is. And I was desperate when that love was poured. I was desperate for people to meet with Jesus. That was my heart, just that people would meet the real Jesus, not religion, not some second, third-hand story, but no, Jesus, the real Jesus, because when people meet with him, they're transformed now, but also they have a wonderful future for eternity. And so I just believe that God wants to use now the pain I've been through. I mean, it was no coincidence that just after Alex passed, 2005, I was asked to come and lead Alpha USA. And Alpha's all about introducing people to Jesus Christ. That's no coincidence. This desperate heart I have for the lost, to be able to now use the skills I learned in 30 years of banking, planning, organization, that was my skill set, to now use that to help extend God's kingdom using this amazing tool of Alpha.
We're going to talk to Gerard. I have to cut you off just for a minute, but we will be right back in 2 minutes. Please stay with us. I'm going to get you to tell the rest of that story on the other side of the break. You're listening to Connecting Faith. Connecting Faith. I'm Joe Rathmanner, sitting in for Neil Stavem today, and we're talking with Gerard Long today about his book, Awakening to God, Discovering His Power and Your Purpose. Gerard is the executive director of Alpha USA, whose mission is to serve local churches in presenting the gospel to their communities through the Alpha Course. Gerard, we were talking a little bit about how the tragedies that you experienced in your own life really led you to feel a call and a pull to help others to know not only who God is, but how to tell other people about him. Can you tell us more about that journey?
Yes, well, I 2005 was Alex passed, and then I had this awakening to eternity. And then in the middle of 2006, I was asked to come and lead Alpha USA. I joined at the beginning. I took early retirement, 30 years in banking, and started in 2007. Ever since then, I've been leading Alpha USA. And Alpha is an amazing idea or strategy, we call it. I started using it in a church. I was helping the pastor in London in 2005. My wife and I used to do it in our home, actually. And we did it for 5 years, three times a year. My wife's an angel. We had about 30 weeks of the year we had people in from outside. And we just saw God move in the most amazing way. Drug addicts, alcoholics, gang members, even a communist guy, going through this incredible time together. And it's incredibly successful. Here in the United States, we see about 50% of people go through Alpha and make a first or recommitment to Jesus. When I ran it in my home, we were seeing a 66%, two-thirds of people who came who didn't know Christ would make a commitment to Christ. And I think one of the reasons it's successful is that we want to keep out the way of what the Holy Spirit does to convict people of sin and of God's love. That's one of the reasons it's so powerful. But also, linked to that, it's an environment where people can just be themselves and they can be authentic and no one's going to judge them. No one's going to embarrass them. They can just enjoy being with other people, have food together to start with. We talk about football or pets or family, whatever. Just get to know them. Listen to them. Hear where they are on their journey through life. Second part then of the, typically it's the evening, can be done in the day, is we do some aspect. There's a talk. Some aspect of Jesus. Who is Jesus? Was he fully man, fully God? Why did Jesus die? How can I be sure of my faith? We go through that. And then the third part of the evening or event is discussion. And it's question-based. So we're not hearing individual theology. We're hearing questions like, what does it make you think that Jesus died on the cross for you? How do you feel about that? And it's fascinating, absolutely amazing to watch atheists, agnostics, Muslims, Buddhists, communists, you name it, in a group together, coming and discussing these questions. Often the big one comes out, why is there suffering in the world? What about all the other religions? And over a number of weeks then, seeing the Holy Spirit in that environment of love, of acceptance, doing what only he can do, is to open people's eyes, the eyes of their hearts, and bring them to faith in Jesus Christ. Transformation. So we saw drug addicts set free, marriages restored. I mean, it's story after story after story of lives transformed. So it's a tool, we believe it's a tool for such a time as this. And so it's spread like anything all around the world now. And it's expanding very fast across the United States as well.
Well, I'd love to talk about some of the practicality, the almost instructions that you have within your book on how people can get started. We've gotten the why of why you should, of course, talk about Jesus to your friends, to your family, and your church. But how do we do that? You talk about fishing for people and why that may not be the perfect analogy because we don't understand fishing quite as much. But yeah. What does it mean to fish for people, at least how they understood it then and how we can apply that today?
Yes. Well, and that's part of the motivation for writing the book was because so many churches, they do Alpha, and then we get questions like, oh, we've done Alpha, everyone's been through it now. And we're thinking, hang on, what, you mean all your community has been through it? Oh, no, we thought it was just for us inside the church. And so they've really missed that the whole thing of Alpha, it's aimed at people outside the church. And so what we want to do is to see a mobilizing of all Christ followers, wherever they are. And the first thing about fishing for men, you ask the question, why did Jesus use that analogy? Well, it's because fishermen think things through. They're asking the question, what fish are we going after? What do the fish eat? When do they eat? Where do they eat? And how do we get them in the net? And so that's how I believe God wants us to be, is that, first of all, we have to have faith We're told to walk by faith. But where we are in our family, in our neighborhood, in our workplace, the people we meet on our journey through life, it's no coincidence. It really isn't. God has been over our lives from the very beginning. It's a great verse in Psalm 139. It says, "Your eyes saw me when I was formless. All my days were written in your book and planned before a single one of them began." God sees it all. He knows exactly where we are. And so when you start to have faith, oh, you mean I'm at work, first and foremost, this is how I was when I was in banking, first and foremost that we're in work to see God's kingdom come. Matthew 6:33, seek first his kingdom, his righteousness. Everything else will follow. I saw that. I was looking for the breakout of the kingdom of God at work. And I saw many, over 30 years, many of my colleagues come to faith in Jesus Christ. Just very simple things like showing kindness. So you have faith that where God wants you, he wants to see you blossom for him. So, for example, kindness. Kindness is one of the most powerful ways we can show people what God is like. Just being kind to them. So I was on a residential course with my colleagues at work. We were sitting down for the evening meal, and my friend Bob was missing. Just for a nudging of the Holy Spirit, this is where we have to be aware to the Holy Spirit, a nudging of the Holy Spirit to go and see if Bob's okay. So I went up to his room. He knew that I was a Christian. Simply knocked on his door and said, "Bob, I hope you don't mind me asking you. I noticed you weren't at dinner tonight, and I just want to see, are you okay? Is there anything I can do for you?" And he just said, "Well, thank you so much for asking. I'm not feeling too well. That's why I missed dinner tonight. But thank you anyway." 2 weeks after that, Bob came to faith in Jesus Christ. But do you know what he said? He said to me, he said, it was that act of kindness, that was that simple act of reaching out that was a tipping point for him coming to faith in Jesus. Mm. So it's seeing that God's put things in our hands, listening to people, even if we don't agree what they're saying, listening to where they are on the journey, being interested in them. Jesus was always asking questions. And it was a Wheaton graduate who added up. Apparently Jesus was asked something like 278 questions. He only really directly answered three. I mean, he would answer in different ways. But he asked 307 questions. Who do people say that I am? Who do you say that I am? That's why when we have our discussion on Alpha, we ask questions. What does it make you feel that Jesus died on the cross for you? And so we can ask people, I often ask people questions about their lives. If I haven't met them before at work, tell me about your life. You're married? Do you have children? Yeah, yeah. So we talk about them for a bit. Of course, people love to talk about themselves most of the time. And normally if they've got children, I say, "Well, that's wonderful. It's God's blessing on your life, isn't it?" And they normally say, "Yeah, yeah." So then I get that opens the way to say, "Well, do you believe in God?" And actually most people will say, "Yeah, I do." So then you get into a spiritual conversation, and often they'll talk about heaven and things like that. Well, we talk about how I say, "Do you believe in heaven? And do you believe in hell? How do you know you're going to heaven?" So there's ways that you can do it. It's all in the book to follow on. Ways that you can start stirring people's spiritual interest. Sometimes it will happen very quickly. Sometimes it may take months or years before they're ready to come along to Alpha, for example. But Alpha's an easy on-ramp. So after you build relationships, Jesus showed us. He was a friend of sinners. He showed us how to do it. He sent out the 12 disciples in Luke 9, and then in Luke 10, he sent out the 72. He showed us, go and be with people. And that's why we're called to go. So often we just, it's the model of church is a come model. But Jesus' model is a go model. Be salt and light. Be amongst people in the community. Go and do sport with them, or go and do things with your kids with them, or in the workplace, wherever you are, be with them. Show them what my love is like. That's what Jesus came to earth. Part of what he did was show people what God's love is like. Show them what God's love. Be patient with them. Listen to them. Show kindness. Show love. And then when it's right, you can start leading them into a spiritual conversation. And then when it's right, you can invite them to the first night of Alpha, just the introductory night. And typically 90% who come on that first night will come on through the course. And 50% will make a first or recommitment to Jesus. So this is not rocket science. It's just a matter of doing it. And we could see, like those first disciples, only 100, this is what gives me great hope for America, only 120 in the upper room, filled with the Holy Spirit, doing what Jesus taught them to do, to be loving people and going out and being salt and light turn the whole world upside down. The same thing can happen here in America if we will follow Jesus' instructions.
I've heard people say that they wish that someone would just ask them about their faith in Jesus. And then I've heard other people say, well, that never happens. But I've actually found that if I'm doing exactly what you said, which is asking questions, being kind, you know, answering questions that they ask about me and having some sort of a spiritual direction to them, that those questions, maybe it's not directly tell me about Jesus, but that people are searching and they are looking and wanting to find answers to these questions that they may be afraid to ask. And your book kind of lays that out for us, that it really is in the way that we treat people every day that is going to get them to finally begin probing themselves so that they would then begin to ask those questions.
Yeah, absolutely. And Joe, you're so right. It's, again, I think one of the key words is intentionality. Am I living my life day to day for me, or am I living my day to day life for Jesus and for God? And of course, God's heart is for people. God's heart is he's desperately loving, wants to love, wants to draw those people back to himself. Reconciliation, this message of reconciliation through Jesus. That's his heart in us. That's the Holy Spirit in us. And so if we're sensitive to that, we'll be looking to put him first. Who do I know who's hurting at the moment? Maybe their marriage has broken up. Maybe they've lost their job. How can I come alongside them and show them God's love and kindness? And in that environment then, they're going to start asking questions. They're going to sense. People, you know, we don't realize that so much. We had a guy I was playing golf with, and he was a Navy SEAL. And we intentionally would invite one guy in R4 who didn't know Christ. And first time he came along, he was every other word with a swear word. And bit by bit, he stopped swearing as he came out with us. But, you know, at the end of the season, he said to us, you know, every time I was with you guys, I sensed this energy, this light. I was encouraged. I felt good for the rest of the day. Well, who's that? That's God in us. That's Jesus in us through the Holy Spirit touching. We don't realize how much of an impact we're having on people just being with them, just spending time with them. And so that's why we have to go and be with people, spend time with them, and then be open, be listening to what are they saying, where are they interested. And there's so many tools we can have, especially today. You know, there's a book I've written called The Breakthroughs of a Parable. Give it to people as a little gift to say, hey, read this. It's three questions we ask. Maybe there's more to life than what you're seeing. Maybe there's a heaven and a hell. And maybe how I'm living my life is hurting other people. And we've had some incredible, it was one pastor, he's been praying for his brother for 25 years, gave him this little parable, this little book called The Breakthrough, and he came to Christ. Now, it wasn't just that. It was a combination of things. But these little tools. God's Not Dead, that film. Hey, let's watch this movie together, and let's have a chat about it. Let's talk about what we heard. I'd love to hear your views. Be interested in those views. So often we want to push down our views on people. No, listen to what their views are and be interested in their views. And as we do that, the walls start coming down, and that's what we see on Alpha. As the walls of mistrust and pride and whatever things come down, they hear the gospel. And when they hear the gospel, there's power in the gospel for salvation. So our job is to love people, not to judge them, love them. And as we love them, the walls come down and the Holy Spirit does what only he can do, is just to bring people to faith in Christ.
We're talking with Gerard Long today. He's written a book called Awakening to God, Discovering His Power and Your Purpose. Gerard is a minister, evangelist, author, motivational speaker, and currently the executive director of Alpha USA, an organization whose mission is to serve local churches in presenting the gospel to their communities. We're going to talk more to Gerard Long about what his organization does. We'll give you some tips on how to get more information if you'd like. And if you have a question, feel free to give us a call. We have one more book to give away. That number is 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484. Or you can go to myfaithradio.com and click on the Connecting Faith show page and send us an email, and we can answer your question that way as well. We'll be right back on Connecting Faith.
You'll be fine.
Connecting Faith. We've been talking with Gerard Long today, and we're talking about this opportunity that all believers have to bring others to know who Christ is, and some very simple ways of doing that by how we act and ask questions and be interested, be intentional about the relationships we have with other people. Gerard, what if people want to find out more about Alpha and the course that you offer, or possibly get that for their church so that they'll be better equipped to have these kind of conversations? Where would they go?
We have a great website. It's alphausa.org, and you can find out all about Alpha on that site. The top right, you can see about if you want to run Alpha, that'll give you instructions. If you're looking for a course, you can find a course, put in your zip code. It'll come up all the churches that are running Alpha near where you live. There's about 8,000 or so churches running Alpha across the U.S. now. We just launched a very, very exciting new youth Alpha film series, which is having incredible fruit. 26% of 13 to 18-year-olds who are going through this are coming to first-time commitment in Jesus. It's a tremendous series, and we're very excited to reach, we pray, by the end of next year, over 150,000 young people with the message of Jesus Christ. Mm. So there's lots of very exciting things. We also have a segue course, and I say segue because it's a great way of blessing your community, a marriage and pre-marriage courses. Not overtly evangelistic, just to bless people. I mean, that's what Jesus said to Abraham, I will bless you, you will be a blessing. And if we just simply think about that with our colleagues and neighbors and work colleagues, it's a great way to start telling them about Jesus, just to look for ways to bless them, be generous to them. Pray for them. That's the greatest thing we can do, really. Have a 10 most wanted list. That's why I have your neighbors, your family. Who in your family doesn't know Jesus? And so, and out of that, then, you can look for ways to bring them in. So the marriage course is a great way for your community. Most people, if they say, you want a better marriage, yeah, well, come along to this. It's about 6 to 7 weeks of a date night. And then we do parenting courses. And what we find is people come on these courses and they say, hey, this is great. Do you have anything else? We say, actually, yeah, we do. This thing called Alpha, which is a great way for you, a place for you to ask questions and to hear about the person of Jesus Christ.
So as you've done this research and conducted these courses for teens, have you been able to answer that question of why a lot of teens tend to kind of fall away from their faith during that period?
Well, I'm not sure anyone's got any definitive answer. I know I have my own view for my own journey because I was one of those teens who went away. And I think it was absolutely very clear. I never had any teachings on the person of the Holy Spirit. You know, the scripture talks about the fellowship, the intimacy of the Holy Spirit. And when you think about that, that he's literally inside of us to be an intimate friend and to give us the love to want to lay our lives down. And he's the one, because he's the Holy Spirit. And when you love somebody, and this is what's the difference between those years before 1980 and since, the Holy Spirit was told that scripture, he'll take from what Jesus is and make it known to us. I just so love Jesus. I don't want to do anything that's going to hurt him because I love him. Mm. Not because of any rule or regulation, but just simply because I just love him. And I think for the young people, it's not having that really intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Really, it hasn't fallen from their head to their heart. We use that expression now for sometimes where you've just become passionately in love, so to speak, with God. You just want to please him out of that. But also then what the Holy Spirit does is give a level of authenticity that you can be real. It's okay to hurt and say you're hurting. That's where I am at the moment. I'm hurting. And it's also to say I'm having a hard day. You don't have to be, you know, smiling and all the time. You can be real. Just be real. And one of the things that young people want today is authenticity. Social media is so shallow. They want something that's really going to be consistent and real. And they can be themselves. They can ask the hard questions. No one's going to be embarrassed. You can wrestle with these questions about God. That's okay. And they want friendships. They want just people to be, hey, hang out and do things that they like doing, fishing or hunting or whatever they enjoy doing, just to be friends. And that's part of God's love. So I think that was what I would say. First, it's the Holy Spirit, but then it's out of that love. Once someone said, love is the greatest thing because it allows you to be your real self. no pretense, no pretending, just, hey, just walking, journeying through life with a God who loves me.
It seems that some people are afraid to have a spiritual conversation with someone because they feel like they have to have all the answers. How do you encourage them to just dispel that myth?
Yeah, I think that's so true. It's so, so true. Well, coming back to what Jesus, you know, how did he go about it? What did he do with the woman at the well, Zacchaeus up a tree? Well, he asked them questions, and Zacchaeus, he said, "I'm coming to your house for tea today. I'm a Brit, so we like tea." You know, he was, and so we can ask questions, and it's okay to say I haven't got all the answers, but what you can say is, look, I don't understand it all, but I know that something's happened in my heart, and that I've connected with God through this person, Jesus Christ. And he's doing something in my life. And so, again, I think it's we think we have to have everything, all the T's crossed and all the I's dotted. Well, again, when you challenge that, that makes no sense at all. Who's going to have all the answers? No one's got all the answers. And so it's okay to say, well, you know, that's a great question. I'm not sure about that. And, of course, then Alpha, our emblem is a question mark. Hey, I'd love you to come. That's a great question. I don't know the answer, but I know a place where you can ask that question, and there may be someone who can give you a good answer to that. Why don't you come along? And so that will be a great segue into it. You know, people the surveys show that 80%, sometimes plus, over 80% of people will come to church or would come to Alpha if they were invited. And so that invitation, it's an easy step. And I think the other thing, Joe, just to say about conversation is, you know, there is an element where it's a little awkward. I don't think you can get away from that. And that's why when God said to Joshua to go in and take the land, if we want to see America taken for Jesus Christ again, the word is courage. Courage to keep going. Someone said that the kingdom of God is motion activated. It's like an electric door. You can stand in front of that door all day long and it won't move. It's only going to move if you move. And God's looking for us to step out, trusting him, to say, today I want to have a conversation with someone and get into spiritual things. And I'm going to be intentional about looking out for that. And, yeah, you know, courage. I find at the moment each day is hard. And I have to have courage to say I'm going to step forward by God's grace, knowing that his grace is there for me. But as I step forward, he's going to help me on the way, give me the strength, give me the capacity to do what he wants me to do.
No, we just have 2 minutes left. Would you ever just pray for those who are listening and hearing and feeling inspired yet are just still a little bit timid, maybe don't have all of that courage, so that we can have this awakening that we've been talking about for the last hour? If you would just pray for them to close the show, I would really appreciate it.
I'd love to do that. Father God, we thank you again for Jesus Christ, as 2,000 or so years ago he came to show us what your love is like. Father, I just pray for everyone who's listening today that you would touch them right now by your Holy Spirit. Would you touch them with your love? Would you give them an experience of your love that maybe drops their knowledge of you from their head to their heart? And Lord, out of that love, that they would in turn love you and love other people like never before. And out of that love, that they'd be willing to lay their lives down, maybe ambition, maybe relationships, maybe seeking after money or whatever it is, power, and say, from here on in, I want to do the things that please you, God. And I know that those things are people, that you love people. And that we would have eyes to see and ears to hear where you prompt us to reach out to the people who are suffering all around us. Father, I want to ask this, that you do this in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.
Thanks so much. We've been talking with Gerard Long. He's the executive director of Alpha USA, and also has written just a brilliant book called Awakening to God, Discovering His Power and Your Purpose. Gerard, it's been great to have you on this hour. I know that people's lives and spirits have been enriched because of it. So thank you so much for taking the time.
Joe, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
And if you want more information on Gerard, his book, or Alpha, you can head to our website at myfaithradio.com. Click on the Connecting Faith show page, and we'll have some links to his resources as well. You've been listening to Connecting Faith. Have a wonderful afternoon.